Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me. I'm a father of five, raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve is a father of six, and son Zach in studio helping with the electronics today. And apparently, you've got six children. Your son wants 13 children, is what you told me?
12 or 13.
Children. Yeah. Wow, you take over the world your way. You'll take over the world mine.
Amen.
That's amazing. Have a lot of kids. That's a good strategy.
Yes, it is. It's a biblical strategy.
It is. It's amazing. And you're multiplying over generations. That's just the opposite of the birth implosions we're seeing just about everywhere these days. Well, and he wants their middle names to spell hippopotamus.
Yes, middle initials.
Middle initials to spell hippopotamus.
He's already got the male and female middle names
chosen.
Now,
Zach, you're the first guy I've ever met who wanted that. That's amazing. I mean, that's planning. That's vision. No question, he's got vision.
There is vision.
I'm not sure what kind of vision that is, but that's vision. 13 kids, their middle initials will spell hippopotamus. Zach has a vision for life.
Okay, needs to find a woman.
Well, that's true, too. That's part of the vision. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to hit the media. We got a few issues going on right now. And speaking of media, I was going to mention this, but NPR is in trouble. I mean, they went around calling these Tea Party people right-wing racists and bigots and
gun-toting Christians.
Now, some of that might have been right.
Yeah, but I would agree with gun-toting Christians.
Gun-toting, yes. Yes, but bigoted, racist, maybe going a little too far there. And they're starting to see a fair number of them resign from their posts.
They even admitted that they would be better off without federal funding.
And you know what? I'd say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. We agree. Okay, for the record, Generations Radio
agrees with NPR the first time. First time ever in history.
Exactly.
We've had several firsts today.
Yes, we've had several firsts already. Okay. NPR, we would like to see them entirely defunded because, you know, it's funny. The government funds media. You're going to be in trouble. You're probably going to see the government funding ideas that we would find abhorrent or reprehensible. By the way, that comes from a Thomas Jefferson quote, that once the government forms begins to support ideological programs, they will take positions on issues that the voters consider to be reprehensible.
So are you saying that our government is something to be, that we disagree with?
I would say, yeah, from time to time.
Okay.
From time to time. And the purpose of government, as we know from Romans 13, is to punish the evildoers. And I would say maybe they ought to begin with NPR.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get back into the news now. And this is a sad story from Georgia. Clayton County, Georgia, two high school students accused of attacking and sexually assaulting a 15-year-old girl. Evidently, one of the young men had already been arrested for a sexual battery the previous year, accused of attacking, et cetera, et cetera. It's pretty sad to see that there is a lot of violence going on in these schools. And I've asked this question before. Why is it that your average father is willing to send his daughter, his 15-year-old daughter, to a school far more dangerous than the corporation in which he works? There are so many arrests made. There are so many illegal criminal acts that are happening in these high schools. In one high school in Colorado Springs, just south of here, it's a fairly average high school. There's a homeschool father who serves as a police officer in that high school. He says he makes an arrest a day in that high school, every day. Right. And that's, I would say, more arrests than what is happening at Lockheed Martin down here in Littleton. You know, I mean, I'm guessing they're not getting an arrest a day down at Lockheed Martin. So you have a father working at Lockheed Martin whose daughter attends a local high school. There are more arrests happening in that high school than in the corporation where he works every day. To me, there is something wrong with that, Steve.
There's lack of vision. There's lack of understanding of the jurisdictional boundaries and the responsibilities of the family, the responsibilities of government. I mean, the government's, as you mentioned, the responsibility of government is to punish evildoers. That's the thing they're not doing.
Right. That's
they're doing everything
exactly
else.
Exactly what they're not doing. Right. Exactly. We have not had actually an evildoer punished in the sense that somebody who committed murder in the state of Colorado was put to death. And that is the basic use of the sword, per Romans 13, Genesis 9, 6, if you're taking a biblical worldview to this, and that has not happened in about 15 years, largely because in the last capital murder case that made it all the way to the Supreme Court, they tossed it out because somebody on the jury quoted Genesis 9, 6.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do that in Colorado, okay? Don't you dare quote Genesis 9, 6. Don't bring God into it anywhere. In the legislatures or the judicial branch, in the state of Colorado, at least. Now, I'm sure we were able to make an exception here and there. You were down at the Colorado Capitol a few weeks ago, and you brought out some scripture.
Yeah, I was actually able to be the House chaplain, and I offered the prayer. And my prayer included...
Now, let me guess. You started out, Dear God, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are, and if you are.
The great architect of the universe. You know, whoever he or she may be.
Yeah, whoever he or she may be, yeah. That's how it usually begins in some of those public prayers. But no, you didn't do that.
No, I didn't. And actually, when I got asked to do this, one of the first things I did was I went back to Peter Marshall to see what were some of the prayers that he offered
the
Senate.
Sure. And the U.S. Senate.
The U.S.
Right.
Senate,
he served as the chaplain of the U.S. Senate. Right.
And I was pretty amazed at some of the things that he prayed. And one of the things that grabbed my attention was one of the prayers that he offered was that the Senate would be able to understand when not to act, when to allow the people to fail. And so my prayer was that God himself would give the wisdom that this body would need to know when not to act, which would be most of the time.
Yeah, right. And the unfortunate thing is that the modern systems consider the government to be the savior, the messiah, the solver of all problems.
Right.
That's a basic presupposition, believe it or not, in the minds of many, many of these legislators. I sat in some of these committee hearings, and I'll tell you what, Steve, these guys really believe that government is responsible for saving and for solving all problems, whether it be welfare, whether it be education, whether it be whatever it is. They really believe that government will solve that problem. That's it. It's government.
With the exception of punishing evildoers.
Well,
the problem
with that exception, right.
Everything else,
it's going to solve, right. It's the criminal issue they're not going to deal with. Well, also here in the news, David Cameron, who's Prime Minister of England, is coming out in support of the High Court that said that Christian foster care. Let me say that one more time. One more time making the transitions here. Also in the news, Steve, we find that David Cameron, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, has affirmed he's in support of what the High Court in England did to the Christian foster parents. Effectively what they said, I think it was a week or two ago, that Christian foster parents are not qualified to be foster parents or adopt in the country of England. Why? Because Christians, at least Christians who believe the Bible, you know, 66 books, including Leviticus and the Book of Romans, those Christians who take the Bible seriously are not qualified because of their position on homosexuality and sodomy.
I have some personal experience with that.
Oh, you do?
We talked about that. Yeah, because my wife and I were looking at adoption, and we were rejected by the county of Arapahoe County, because we homeschool, because we have a church that meets in our home, and because we hold a family Bible study just about every morning.
Yeah,
and that's
a problem. That's a problem for social services in Colorado. Maybe not every social service agent, but it sounds to me, Steve, that we have a different religion running these systems. And at one time, Christians could adopt. At one time in the Roman Empire, Christians could adopt. They could go and they could find orphans, and they could bring them into their home and raise them. Today, all the orphans are funneled through a social system run by Plato and his friends. And Plato and his friends do not believe in the Christian principles, and they're fine with sodomy and sodomizing whoever you want to sodomize in the world, practically. And so because of that, Christians are not allowed to participate in this adoption system, at least in the UK and to some extent in places around America. In Oregon, recently, my father told me of a story where social services came in and saw Christian signs and verses and things on the walls of this family and said, because you believe in the Bible, because you take the Bible seriously enough to put the verses on the walls, you are not qualified. You cannot adopt in this county. We will not let you adopt because you are a Christian. And you are a fundamentalist Christian, meaning you take Christianity seriously. And David Cameron said, this is the Prime Minister of England said, I think Christians should be tolerant, welcoming, broad-minded. You know, again, broad-minded to what? Of course, you know, I think I'm very broad-minded. I think I maximize liberty based on principles of God's law. Personally, I think people who violate God's law are pretty much typically the most socialistic, the most communistic, the most big government supporting, et cetera, et cetera. They are the worst tyrants in the world. Worst tyrants tend to be those who break down the morality of the people. That's what Ben Franklin said. Either you be governed by God, or by God you'll be governed. That's Ben Franklin, the founder
of
the nation. Right. And so what the tyrants do, David Cameron out in the UK, and the tyrants here that work social services in this country, they violate God's law all the time. They very pro-homosexual, big government, et cetera, et cetera. They want to break down the morality of the people. Why? So they can increase the size of government. That's what tyrants do. They've been doing that for thousands and thousands of years. For the transgression of the people, many other princes thereof. That's a very important proverb that we need to review from time to time. Right, Steve?
Amen.
You're going to get a lot of bureaucrats, a lot of princes. Why? Because of the transgression of the people. And so that's why David Cameron is so excited about getting as much homosexuality in the homes as possible. We've got to get these kids trained in sodomy as early as possible. I think that commitment is there among the social services here in America in many areas of America, as well as the public schools, where they're being trained in sodomy, places like California, et cetera, but also in the UK. Dave, or Steve, I'll tell you what, Christians being tolerant, welcoming, and broad-minded just simply means they need to be in favor of sin, and they need to really hate righteousness. And maybe one day Christians can put other Christians in jail because these other Christians aren't on board in these areas of sodomy, homosexuality, abortion, et cetera, et cetera. So again, folks, the bottom line here is no system is religiously neutral. Every system takes a moral position. David Cameron is very committed to a moral perspective. He thinks homosexuality and sodomy is great. He hates Jesus Christ and whatever Christ wrote in Romans chapter 1 and Leviticus chapter 20. He hates that. Why? Because that's his worldview. That's his religion. That's his ethical perspective. Well, we're having the same troubles here in Colorado, as you said.
Amen.
And we've got the civil unions bill that has just made it through the Senate Judicial Committee, as I recall. It's got 20 sponsors, meaning every Democrat senator in the Colorado Senate has sponsored a bill to incorporate civil unions. And if those of you aren't up to date on what's going on with homosexual marriage, this is the first step towards homosexual marriage. It's called the civil union.
And there's one Republican that's on, too. I don't know if they are signed on as a sponsor, but they have one Republican voting in the Senate for this.
And homosexual adoptions are just going through the ceiling right now. I mean, I was just visiting with a friend in the church on Sunday, and they said, oh, yeah, the people across the street, a couple lesbians have a kid or two in their household. And I did a search for lesbian families, got some pics online 2 days ago. There's all kinds of pictures of lesbian families. I mean, there's hundreds of pictures of lesbian families. This is normal now. I mean, this is normal. This is where we are in 2011. This is not where we were in 1950. This
right.
is where we are in 2011. It's a brave new world. The gods of the marketplace has come in, and they're selling us lesbian families and pigs with wings. And, you know, these are cool things. These are really cool things. And yet, you know, Steve, this isn't going to last. It could be that civil unions is going to make it through the Colorado Senate and House. Now, in the House, we have a different situation. Republicans have control of the House
by one vote.
By one stinking vote. The Democrats have the governorship, the governor, and the Senate.
And the Supreme Court.
And the Supreme Court, right. The Democrats have pretty much ruled Colorado for the last 30 years. But the Republicans haven't done us a lot of good either.
Yeah.
Governor Love was the guy who signed the abortion bill in 1967. Governor Love. Wasn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Governor Love signs the abortion bill in 1967 in Colorado, and he's a Republican. So Republicans have never really done outstanding work in the state of Colorado up to this point. But we do have some halfway decent senators and a few good House reps who are pro-life and pretty strong Christians, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, but as you said, this philosophy, this principle of loving what is evil is going to necessarily implode, because if you hate God, God is life, then necessarily you have to love death.
Yeah.
And death is going to, it will implode upon itself.
Yeah, it will. And I think they're going to lose.
They will.
I think they're going to lose. Friends, we're going to talk about the winning strategy in just a moment. I'm going to take a quick break, and we're talking to Steve Vaughn, who's interested in running for politics in the next year or two. I ran for governor in Colorado in 1994, U.S. Senate in 1998, and Steve is looking at getting involved in the political race, and it is good to get involved. Now, granted, we are overwhelmed. We are somewhat outnumbered in the state of Colorado. In general, people who like homosexuality, people who like big government, people who hate the Tabor Bill, that is the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights, in Colorado, win in Colorado. In general, they win. Why? Largely because of Boulder and Denver and the large metropolitan areas. Metropolitan areas tend to attract the liberals for some reason. But in Colorado, the conservatives or those who stand for some semblance of freedom, of liberty from big government, they tend to lose in Colorado, sadly. But Steve Vaughn's going to throw his hat in the race. Lord willing, the creek don't rise in the next year or two. We're going to talk about a winning strategy. Can we win? That next on the Generations broadcast. Hang in there.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trustest to the book called the Scriptures, thou trustest to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me. And Steve, looking at getting involved in politics, local politics in the state of Colorado. Steve being a committed Christian, one who disciples his kids in the Word of God, takes the Bible seriously. And to me, I think you got to take the Bible seriously if you're a Christian, Steve. I know there are a lot of fakey-wakeys out there, and we're living in a very, very significant apostasy in America and Canada and the U.K., people are walking away from the church right and left, and probably will for the next 30, 40 years. But you believe in the Bible, you're a Christian, and yet you still want to be involved in politics.
I feel like I'm being called to that. I've been feeling led to that for quite a number of years, actually, and found that there was a committed Christian in the seat that I'm going to be running for. And he and I have sat down and talked, and he actually has asked me to run in his place because he's going to be termed out here after this term.
Yeah.
And he said the reason why he wanted me to run in his place is because I was committed to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. Okay, great. Fantastic. Your general platform, as I understand it, is you don't like to kill babies. You really want to see murders taken care of. That's kind of what government's supposed to do.
That would be nice.
I think this is kind of no-brainer stuff. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we don't really have to get into a lot of detail here. And you really don't want big government tyrannizing all the innocent citizens.
Right. I like freedom.
Freedom
markets.
Is cool.
Yeah, sure. Let the free market decide how things go.
Yeah.
And let the government do what the government's supposed to do, which is punish criminals. Let the family do what they're supposed to do, which is raise their children.
Yes, right.
And let businesses do what they're supposed to do, which is, free markets and make
money. It's no-brainer stuff, really. It's no-brainer stuff. So we won't get into any more detail here because it's, just look it up in the Word of God. Romans 13 will help. But it's interesting what's going on in Colorado right now, and you brought up this referendum issue off air, and I want to just mention it just for a moment. They're going after Tabor right now in Colorado, and we should say that Tabor has been a very important part of Colorado. Colorado's economy, it's been a blessing for Colorado's economy. Colorado is one of the very best states in which to do business today, much better than, say, California, New York, Oregon, some of the left coast stuff, the right coast stuff. But Colorado's doing very, very well in some areas, largely because there has been some control on the growth of government. Now, we've had Democrats rule for the most part. Democrats hate Tabor as a rule.
Yes.
Am I safe so far?
That is correct.
Okay. And Tabor, thanks to Doug Bruce, who sponsored the Tabor referendum, has really tied down government over many, many years. Really, it's been about 20 years since we moved here, really.
Yeah, and most of the people like Tabor as well, and so the Democrats know that they can't attack this head on.
Okay.
And so they're going to try to outflank it just a little bit by going at it from a different angle. And the angle that they're going after it is through referendum 001 for this year. So the very first Senate referendum that came out, which got passed in the Senate and just in the House when I was the House chaplain, mm-hmm. it got voted on. And so many Republicans are on board with this as well. And it's going to be put to the vote of the people. But what this referendum does is it creates a supermajority to pass an amendment in the Colorado Constitution. Now, I can see some of the issues, because there are some amendments in the Constitution that really don't belong there, like bear hunting and things like that. However, you have to look at the periphery as well. And Tabor is being adjudicated. It's in the courts. They're wanting to try to rule that as unconstitutional. Now, if it gets ruled as unconstitutional,
which Democrat Supreme Court justices might very well do.
They might
do. You can't trust these guys, can you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it would take a 60% majority to even get it back
and
on the ballot.
So there's no way you'd ever get Tabor back if they get 001 passed.
Right.
And it turns out that 60% approval rate is required for every future initiative and referendum that is passed into an amendment to the state constitution.
Right. So once Tabor is out, if this then gets passed by the people, so this is actually going to go to a vote in the next election. If this passes, then Tabor is going to hang in the balance.
Right.
And then if Tabor loses, then you can kiss your tax dollars goodbye, because they're going
to Colorado will continue to be a state where government continues to grow way, way beyond the inflation rate, way, way beyond the population rate. And that's what Tabor was trying to do, is to hold down the growth of government.
Trying to rein it in.
Right. And that's very, very difficult to do. It's interesting. It's very interesting here, Steve. And this is where the discussion needs to go. Why do we need referendums and initiatives but to bind down the control of government? But government typically is made up of the elected representatives. Now, why is it that people would vote for a smaller government, for less tyranny in a referendum, and then turn around and vote for tyrants who impose very high taxes and huge government growth rates on the people? See, and I think the reason is because people generally don't like government taking money from them, but they sure like to get little bennies from the government by means of those promises that are given to them from their elected representatives.
Right.
See, they hate the idea of losing money. They love the idea of getting more money. So that's why they're always electing their tyrants. Their tyrants promised them a second car in every garage, a second turkey in every pot, because that's what tyrants do. And they forget that tyrants don't produce anything. Tyrants have to tax the people for that money. They'll destroy the free enterprise system the best way they possibly can, as they're doing in California, and in the process wind up creating a very significant tyranny upon the people and tear down the economic well-being of the state. And that's what happens. But people don't typically vote in terms of character, in terms of the principles of God's word, that you don't redistribute the wealth. That's not the purpose of government. And yet that's not what they're being taught in the public schools either.
Right. And so the public schools are, they're a lot different than when I went. And, I look back and I don't agree with the education that I got necessarily. But today, it's much, much worse.
I just read somewhere on the generational trajectory program we did 2 or 3 months ago that they've done Pew Research has done surveys on the positions of all the generations, from the greatest generation back in the 1940s and those that are still alive all the way through the baby boom generation, down through the Generation X, down to the millennials. And what you find is the millennials in Generation X are twice as likely, percentage-wise, to support big government as the baby boom generation, the great generation, meaning that as you go into successive generations who've been through public schools, been through universities, they tend to be twice as likely to be socialists, twice as likely. Okay, whereas back in the millennials or back in the great generation, the baby boom generation, those that are, in their 50s and 60s today, tend to be somewhat conservative. But some 40% believe in big government, but But among the millennials, it's up around 70-80% are pro-big government and socialism.
And that was inevitable because, you know, just as the Bible says, you know, if we remember the Bible, it says that when a student is fully taught, he will be like his master. Well, who set up the whole school system anyway?
Socialist.
That was Dewey, and
yeah,
he was a socialist.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And so now the students are being fully taught by their masters, Marxists, Dewey, you know, all of those. And so, yes, they're going to be socialist now.
And it seems like, friends, and we're going to end on this program, it seems like the future of socialism is pretty much set. And perhaps the future of homosexual marriage, because as it turns out, the millennials, the Gen X generation, are just about twice as likely to support homosexual marriage and civil unions as the baby boom generation and those that still had some semblance of a Christian morality from the 1930s and 40s and 50s. So again, friends, the future does not bode well for the Christian faith. The future does not bode well for those who don't want government controlling 85% of the GNI. It doesn't. I mean, let's face it. I mean, it's just really depressing for people like Steve Vaughn is trying to go into government with a very, very unpopular approach to government, saying we got to get the bad guys, forget the redistribution of the wealth schemes. Let's try to maximize liberty for the average person out there, and let's not be redistributing wealth into people's pockets. Let's not create tyrannical governments. That's not what the Gen X's want. That's not what the millennial generation wants, according to recent research by Pew Research. So where are we? Are we going to lose, Dave? Or Steve, here's the deal. The reason why the other side is going to lose is because of this. They've got a very bad strategy. Now, it's a bad long-term strategy. Now, in the short term, we're struggling.
Yes.
But, hello, that's been the case for a lot of righteous people. Typically, we're overwhelmed. We're outnumbered. Okay, Gideon had the same problem. Jesus had the same problem. He was a bit outnumbered.
But they won.
Yeah. Eventually, they won over the Roman Empire, at least in portions of Europe. So gradually, I think we will have a winning position. But right now, we're losing. Now, this is how you lose. Let's say you wanted to really lose in the long term. This is what you do. Number one, develop a form of sexuality that doesn't reproduce. Okay? Now, this is a losing strategy, okay? We're building a losing strategy for the other side, okay? We want them to lose. This is what they have to do. Number one, develop a form of sexuality that doesn't reproduce. They've already done that. Check that one off. Okay, check that one off. Check it off. Done that. Okay. Okay, on to the next thing. Secondly, tell everybody children are a pain in the neck. And be good materialistic narcissists. Make sure everybody learns that children are a pain. They're a pain. We dealt with that in a previous program.
Actually, it'll be aired tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thirdly, develop birth control systems and abortion that eliminates as many kids as possible. Okay, we've done that one yet?
Yeah, I think we've
done that. Yep. Got our birth rate down to 1.4. It's soon going to be 0.8 among the millennial generation. Okay, we're doing real well on that one. Number four, develop a social security system around the birth imploding demographic that works like a Ponzi scheme. And you know what a Ponzi scheme is, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You run out of money.
Eventually,
there's no more money.
Has there ever been money in there?
Well, if you can get more and more people, if you can increase your birth rate, then it works. The problem is Social Security is bankrupt this year. I don't know if you know what. Social Security, for the first time, is $40 billion in the hole in 2011, which ironically is the first year the baby boom generation retires. The baby boom generation is retiring over 19 years. So 2011 marks the year, friends, two things are happening. The Social Security is going into the red for the first time. For the first time. $40 billion in the red this year, 2011, which ironically is the first year the baby boom generation starts to retire, and that'll take place over 19 years. So we got 19 years of Social Security bankruptcy. Okay, that's going to be interesting.
Yes, it will
going to be really interesting. 19 years. And by the way, the Social Security fund has been borrowed from, so there's nothing there anyway.
There's no trust fund?
No. All that money's gone.
They lied to us.
This is the first year Social Security is bankrupt, friends. Also the first year the baby boom generation is retiring. Okay, so develop that. That'll work really well. And then if you really want to lose, here's number five. Eliminate all your friends that would vote for you by euthanizing them. Okay, so that's got to happen too.
Yeah.
Because all these people that have been very, very dependent upon the Social Security system and dependent upon the Ponzi scheme, you got to eliminate them. You got to euthanize them. And then finally, here's just for you Republicans out there that want to join the losing team. There's Republicans out there that want to join the losing team. Send your children to be indoctrinated by the people who teach all of the above. Okay? So the worldview represented by everything we just talked about, developing a form of sexuality that doesn't reproduce, telling everybody that children are an irritant, developing birth control systems and abortions that eliminates as many kids as possible, developing a form of social security system in which everybody gets reliant upon government, and then birth implode your demographic, eliminate all your friends through euthanasia. Make sure that you train your little Republican kids in this worldview. You've got to, because remember, you've got to reproduce the worldview, so that you continue to spiral this whole thing so that you have nothing in the year 2057. Okay, that's the goal here. By the year 2057, you have birth imploded everywhere. Your worldview is birth imploded. You can't reproduce anymore. You pretty much have embraced a death culture the whole distance. And then here's one more thing, Steve. Okay, that's the strategy to lose. The strategy to win, don't do anything I just said.
Amen.
Okay. If you want to win, don't do like 1 through 6. Okay? Don't do that. Don't send your kids to these schools to be indoctrinated in a narcissistic, materialistic worldview that talks about birth implosions and embraces a form of sexuality that doesn't reproduce. Okay? Don't do that. Okay? If you don't do that, you're going to win by the year 2057.
It's similar to the two rabbits who are running away from the fox. They jump under a haystack and say, should we try to outrun him or stay here and outnumber him?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Okay, and the fox is a homosexual.
Yeah.
He's aborted 6 of his kids, and he's teaching everybody else's kids to do
it's
the same.
It's
going to
take some time, but we will prevail.
You take over the world your way. We'll take over the world ours. Zach's going to have 13 kids. Their middle initials will spell out hippopotamus, and that, my friends, is a vision, okay? It may not be the best vision, but I tell you what, it beats a lot of vision that's out there in the world today. And you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast as we talk about the future and we talk about present issues. You know, let me just wrap it up with this proverb. The Word of God says, all those who hate me love death. All those who hate me, that is, all those who hate wisdom, that hate Christ, the very essence of wisdom, love death. And that's what's happening to their systems. That's what's happening to their schools. That's what's happening to their culture, to their character, to their politics, to their future. You've got to embrace a different vision, friends, and I would encourage you to embrace the principles found in the book of Proverbs, certainly in all the Word of God, but the book of Proverbs is kind of a mini-Bible that wraps up all the principles that we talk about on this radio program into one little study guide. And I put together a study guide on the book of Proverbs, the wisest book ever written, a book written for our children to give wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to young men and young women. This is God's curriculum, God's education manual. It has all the principles for life, every principle for life. You talk politics, economics, family life, getting along with others, character issues for a young man or a young woman. It's all there. It's in the book of Proverbs. I would encourage you to get our family study guides from the book of Proverbs at my website, kevinswanson.com. The new edition, the second edition or the second volume of that series is out now for the first time. Folks, all available at kevinswanson.com. Equip your children for the future. Equip them with the right vision for life. Equip them with the book of Proverbs. And my study guide is available at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.